facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Craig, and welcome to The Weeknd. Welcome to the month of October. It's the first day of October. It's also First Friday. And it's the feast day of one of the most popular saints in the history of the Catholic Church, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. And so glad that you're along for the ride today on The Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call. Talk to me in studio. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And by the way, producer Lucas, I just tweeted out a story. Apparently, I find this really hard to believe, but apparently Daniel Craig did not even know that his little introduction of The Weeknd has gone viral on social media and has been for months. It's become sort of just a, you know, it's de rigueur. You know, it's what we do every weekend. We play the Daniel Craig Club. And apparently he knew nothing about this until he
did. I find that hard to believe.
I find that really hard to believe, too. I'm surprised, like, none of your friends told you, Daniel, about this?
Come on, do you not get on the internet at all? There are so many memes circulating.
Well, apparently he doesn't. He's doing, obviously, a press tour for the new Bond movie, No Time to Die. No spoilers, by the way. Don't call me. Don't spoil it for me. I haven't seen it yet. I hear it's getting rave reviews. I can't wait to see it, but I haven't seen it yet. Big Bond fan, as you know. But he did an interview with the New York Times, and the reporter told him about this. Well, what do you think of this whole weekend meme? And he's like, what are you talking about? And so he showed it to him, and he said, oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. That doesn't really sound like Daniel Craig, but anyways, he said, I suppose that would be great if I actually was on social media, but I'm not, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, well, good for you. You know, you're probably saving yourself a lot of angst.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
There it is again.
The dramatic pause.
Yeah. I find that unfathomable that he didn't know about that. But, anyways, and by the way, so another thing that's coming up, which we do every Friday, although it's a little bit different apparently today. We usually do the week that was, but I got a text from producer Lucas today, and he said, oh, Cale, by the way, the week that wasn't is, you know, however many minutes long. And I'm like, what do you mean the week that wasn't? So what do you mean by this, producer Lucas? What is the week that wasn't?
Yes, well, as most of you know, on Fridays we do the week that was, highlighting clips from the show that were kind of cool moments. This week we are doing the week that was not. All of the times that Cale messed up. No, actually, all kinds of bloopers between me hitting the wrong buttons, callers' phones dying, Cale messing up words. It's a great thing. So stay tuned for that.
That could be at least an hour. All the things I've flubbed this week.
Well, I will say, fortunately, I didn't have a whole lot to choose from as I normally do, so there weren't too many mess ups.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm excited about this. I think. I hope it won't be too embarrassing. So stay tuned, folks, for the week that wasn't coming up later in the show. But first, as I mentioned off the top, today is, of course, the feast day of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, and I remember this couple. I don't know if you've ever seen this show with, I think their names are Bob and Penny Lord. They used to have the show on EWTN about the saints. And I don't know, they sound like they're from New York, because she used to say, when she was talking about Saint Thérèse, she'd say, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. And, you know, like from the zoo or something, you know. Anyways, Lisieux. I know the French accent's a little tough, you know, but I can cheat a little bit because I'm Canadian. I had to study French a little bit in school. So, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, obviously a hugely popular saint. Almost nobody knew who she was outside of her own family when she was alive. She died at the tender age of 24 in 1896. And shortly after her death, this huge groundswell of devotion to her began to spread. And she promised that this would happen. She promised that she would answer a lot of prayers when she was in heaven. And she said this. This is a very famous quote by her. She said, quote, I have not given the good God anything but love, and it is with love he will repay. After my death, I will let fall a shower of roses. I will spend my heaven in doing good upon earth. My little way is the way of spiritual childhood, the way of trust and absolute self-surrender, end of quote. And she's a doctor of the church. She's one of the four women who are doctors of the church. And a lot of people even to this day, people write her off, and a lot of other saints in the church, when they read her spiritual biography, Story of a Soul, her autobiography, as it were, rather, a lot of people are like, I don't get it. I just don't find this very deep. I don't find this very impressive. I don't understand it. But then they'll come back to it later in life, and they'll be like, oh, okay, now I get it. The sublime, the weight of it's simple but deep. It's simple but deep, just like the gospel itself. I mean, it's shallow enough that, you know, little kids can splash around in the puddles, but it's deep enough that an elephant can swim in it and not touch the bottom. And so the depth of her teaching, the simplicity of the little way, really made her a doctor of the church. And she was proclaimed a doctor of the church by St. John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, in 1997. So what does St. Therese mean to you? I'm sure you've got a story about her. You can call in 888-914-9149. Have you ever received, Producer Lucas, the gift of roses from Saint Therese?
I can't say that I have.
A lot of people say when they pray to her, they get a sign sort of that she has interceded for them. They get a rose or a bouquet of roses. I'll tell you something really strange. This kind of happened to me when I was still a Protestant minister, and I was investigating the Catholic Church. I was thinking about coming back into the Catholic Church, and I had a friend who was talking to me about Saint Therese, a Catholic friend. And she was telling me about this whole thing of, you know, her intercession and people receiving roses. And she's often seen, she's often depicted as holding a bouquet of roses, if you've seen. And I actually have a really tiny little statuette of St. Therese in my pocket right now. I'm going to pull her out because my daughter, Michaela, gave her to me and said, you better have her with you when you do this show. And I said, yep, I'll pull her out. So here she is. And anyways, so This gal was telling me about Saint Therese and the flowers, and I was like, okay, whatever. And I was living in this building at the time, and I walked onto the elevator, and the floor of the elevator was covered in rose petals. I'm not kidding. And there was like a beautiful, you know, smell that was just, you know, wafting from these rose petals. I was like, okay, that's weird. But there you go. So was that Saint Therese? Guess I'll find out later, but I'm going to say that it was.
That's pretty cool.
I'm going to say that it was. And it was something else. It was something else. I was like, huh, interesting. And you know who else really is fond of, so many people are fond of St. Therese, but there's a particular nun who's pretty famous right now, and you might know her. She's a daughter of St. Paul. We got to have her on the show one day because she's good pals with Father Harrison Eyre. He's like in with the daughters of St. Paul. Like he's just been back. He went to visit their mother house, and he's got the book that he's doing with St. Paul, the daughters of St. Paul, Mysterion, which is coming out soon. And anyway, so he's been palling around with Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. And you might know her because she's really popular on social media. She's the Memento Mori nun, hashtag Memento Mori. Remember the day of your death. And so we talked about her a little bit yesterday with St. Jerome, because St. Jerome always had a skull on his desk. So she's popularized this devotion, this idea of, like, you know, carrying little skulls around and things like that, plastic skulls. And she's got this whole line of products, you know, prayer journals and things. They're all great. Memento Mori, remember the day of your death. So now right now, Sister Teresa Alethea is in Italy right now with some of her sisters, the daughters of St. Paul, the media nuns, the hashtag media nuns, and they're actually doing their final vows right now in Italy. But a few years ago, she wrote a little piece about how when she was a kid, now she I've talked about her story on the show before. She comes from a background of atheism, discovered Christianity, discovered Christ, and now she's a nun, of course. But when she was a kid, she talked about when she was in seventh grade, lounging around her neighborhood pool. And this is a story that she wrote on the Pathos website a few years ago. And this has something to do with St. Therese. Don't worry, I'll bring it around to St. Therese. But when she was in seventh grade, she spent the entire summer sitting around the neighborhood pool listening to a cassette tape of Led Zeppelin's greatest hits. And she was kind of reveling, as she says, in her teenage angst. And her mom was like super worried about her because just a couple years before that, she was reading Anne of Green Gables. And that's what she would read sitting by the pool. But not anymore. She was going through these changes, and she got rid of Anne. And she started reading the works of this poet named Sylvia Plath, who I had not heard of. But I had to look her up. She was reading The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. So I looked up Sylvia Plath. Apparently there's a movie about her starring Gwyneth Paltrow a few years ago. But she was a poet. She tragically committed suicide. But her poetry is really dark. Like, it's really, like, angst-driven. And I don't know too much about it. But anyway, so she was reading Sylvia Plath. Had her Walkman on, listening to Stairway to Heaven over and over and over again. You remember, you know, Stairway to Heaven, right? Remember that? How could you not know Stairway to Heaven? Crank it, Lucas. I can barely hear it. I don't know what's going on with it. Okay, there we go. You guys know this song, right? This is the best song ever for high school dances if you wanted to dance with a girl. Because it's like 10 minutes long. So you know you're getting like a really long dance and the girl's like, oh man, I don't know. But anyways, so Stairway to Heaven, staple of high school dances, staple of my teenage years. And everyone knows Stairway to Heaven, Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin. But apparently Lucas doesn't know. Producer Lucas did not know about Stairway to Heaven until I just told him about it. There's more to life than Bieber, you know.
I just never could get into classic rock music. Maybe it's a fault of my own. I'm willing to be persuaded to listen to it.
That's okay. But... well, it's you'll thank me later. But anyway, so back to Sister Teresa Alethea. So back when she was in grade 7, she was about 13 years old. She's listening to Stairway to Heaven and Led Zeppelin's Greatest Hits by the neighborhood pool. And her mother was super, super concerned about her. And she was thinking about this because of what the book of Genesis says. And again, we'll bring this back to St. Therese in a second. It'll all make sense, trust me. But you know, back in the book of Genesis in chapter 28, there's that famous account of Jacob's ladder, right? And Jacob has this vision. And he has the vision, of course, at Bethel. And we did a great... we kind of dove into this deeply on the Faith Explained program a while back in our Genesis series. You can check the archives on that. But when Jacob had this dream, he was staying there for the night. He actually slept on a stone, using a stone as a pillow, put it under his head. He laid down in that place, and he dreamt that there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of the ladder reached up to heaven. And behold, it says the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood above it at the top of the ladder and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. And your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. And by you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth bless themselves. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that of which I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And that's why he called it Bethel, and Bethel means the house of God. And so, like, Bethlehem means the house of bread. Beth means house in Hebrew. And so... this is the Stairway to Heaven, and this is obviously referenced in the song. But in actuality, and by the way, just to you guys know this obviously, but Jesus applies this to himself in John's Gospel. Remember when he met Nathanael? It says this is in John chapter 1. It says the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. There's another Beth. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So Jesus basically says, I'm Jacob's ladder. I'm Jacob's ladder. But how does this all kind of fit into Led Zeppelin and Saint Therese? Well, here's the thing. Actually, in some Bible translations, and I think this is probably the right Bible translation, by the way, when you read that story about Jacob's ladder, it actually doesn't say ladder, it says stairway. It's a stairway to heaven. And it's the Hebrew word sulam, which traditionally sometimes is translated as ladder, but most people think now it's more accurately translated as stairway. So obviously that's where Led Zeppelin got the idea from. But also this is why this really is based on something that was very, very common in the ancient world. These ancient temples in the Mediterranean world, in the Mesopotamian world, rather. And if you read about it again in Genesis, the Tower of Babel, what was that all about? Well, it wasn't like the Leaning Tower of Pisa or, you know, the Freedom Tower in New York. It wasn't some tower that they tried to build straight up. It was actually a pyramid because of these ancient structures called ziggurats. Ziggurats. You know, so pass me a ziggurat. A lot of people use ziggurats when they're listening to Led Zeppelin, apparently. But a ziggurat, what does that mean? Well, it comes from an Akkadian word, Zikuratu, which means temple tower. And the word zikaru, which is also related to ziggurat, means to build high. So this was a temple that was kind of triangular or rectangular. It had a square base, but it would kind of have all these steps going up to the very top. It would look like almost like a pyramid. And there would be a staircase on the outside of that pyramid. And in fact, They've had examples of these in the ancient world, including in Ur, where Abraham was. There's a famous ziggurat that they found there that archaeology has unearthed. Well, there'd be a staircase on the outside of the temple. Why is that? Well, at the bottom, on the top, on the ground floor, that would be where you would worship your god. You know, your whatever god you worshipped. It was a false god, obviously, but that's where the worship would happen. But you could also go to the top, up the stairs on the outside, and at the very, very top, which would be very high. That's where the god would come down and allegedly meet with you on top of the tower. So this is exactly what Jacob sees in his dream. It's a very enculturated, very culturally relevant image. And God says, this is what's really happening. I'm the true God. And in your dream, you're seeing this ziggurat, this temple. And at the top of the staircase, it's me, the one true and living God. And he sees all these angels going up and down on the ladder. And so this is the image that Jesus applies to himself, that in his humanity, he bridges the gap between God and man. And he is that ladder. He's the way that we can get to heaven. So that's really cool. So back to the song. So what Sister Teresa writes about, she says in Led Zeppelin's song, Stairway to Heaven, if you listen to the lyrics, it talks about a woman who's buying the stairway to heaven. Now, what is that all about? Well, she has a really superficial life. She only cares about material things. She even thinks that she can buy her way almost into heaven. She can buy a stairway to heaven. But the thing that she doesn't get is that you can't pay for this. This is actually already free. It's a free gift of God. Jesus has paid the price. He gives himself to us so that we can use him to get to heaven. And so she said, you know what, I don't really like this whole image of a stairway to heaven. I really don't get this. I hate climbing the stairs. And hey, Sister Teresa, I'm with you as well. I'm with you on this because, man, that just brings back bad memories of when I was playing college basketball. Our coach made us run the stairs of one of the dorms for our training. His whole theory was, you know, make the practices really, really hard so the games are easy. And boy, he took that really seriously because he made us run all these stairs, like flights of stairs. And I was in great shape, but man, I hated it. I'd rather take the elevator. And this is what Saint Therese said. She's like, I'd rather take the elevator too in the spiritual life. I don't want to climb the stairs. I want a way that's a little bit easier. And so this is what Saint Therese said. She applies this to the spiritual life. When she was kicking around back in the 1800s, they had literally just invented elevators. And not everybody had them, but rich people did have them in their homes. And so Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, Saint Therese of Lisieux, she said this, In rich people's homes, there are elevators that replace stairs to great advantage. I would also like to find an elevator to lift me up to Jesus because I'm too little to climb the rough staircase of perfection. The elevator that must lift me up to heaven is your arms, O Jesus. For that, I don't need to become big. On the contrary, I have to stay little. So this kind of ties in with her way of spiritual childhood, the little way, being a spiritual child. And that's what kind of draws Christ to us, that we need him, that we're needy. And we should actually kind of revel in that. She said, I want to find an elevator to heaven, not a stairway to heaven. I want to take the elevator. And the elevator is the arms of Jesus. But the only way to climb in is to be little so he can pick you up. So I just love that. I love that. We all want this. And so this is what we need to ask for on this feast day of St. Therese. We need to ask to become little children, so that Jesus can lift us up, take us on the elevator to the spiritual heights. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. I want to hear about your experiences with St. Therese. Going to get back to your phone calls and much, much more after this break. Be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Hope you're happy. We're having a great time today. It's Friday. It's the feast day of the great Saint Therese of Lisieux, or as Penny Lord used to call her, Saint Therese of Lisieux. And I know you guys have Saint Therese stories, so we're going to go to the phones right now. We're going to go to, first of all, Sandy in Naperville, Illinois. Hi, Sandy.
Hi there, Cale. I wanted to say that when you were talking about the Stairway to Heaven song,
yes,
it's not a dance song. It's a song that you play when you have to go to the bathroom because you won't miss anything. It's so long. So my husband nicknamed it the bathroom song. And I'm like, what's the bathroom song? And that's what he said.
Yeah, I guess if you're a DJ, that comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, the you DJ. Kinda, you won't
I'll be back
anything.
In a bit. Yeah, yeah. It's also one of those songs. Sandy, it's also one of those songs I love to do karaoke. As cheesy as that is, and I love pulling out songs like that in karaoke because you're up there for like 10 minutes. Like, everyone's getting like super annoyed at you, like Deacon Blues.
Yeah. Or
Steely Dan is another
definitely.
Good karaoke song, you know. And so yeah. The only thing that's kind of awkward is what do you do during the instrumental portion? Like, do you pretend to play air guitar or something? I don't know, but that's
right.
Always a little awkward. But yeah, that's a good point about Stairway to Heaven. I appreciate that call, Sandy.
No problem. Thanks. Yeah. We love your show.
We're happy
to have you.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much, and have an awesome weekend, Sandy. Call anytime. That was Sandy from Naperville, Illinois. We're going to go now to Boston. That was a really cool... I mean, I'm excited about this weekend because, as an NFL fan, Tom Brady is coming back to Boston to play the Patriots with the Buccaneers. Christina is calling from Boston. Hey, Christina.
Hi, Cale.
Christina, I have to ask you, are you a Patriots fan?
Oh, of course I am, and we're all looking forward to Sunday's game. Definitely,
this is gonna transcend sports. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. They're expecting way over 20 million people to watch this on Sunday Night Football.
I believe it'll be watched closely across the country. We've all talked about it.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be something else.
Anyway,
I'm gonna be glued to the screen. But I know that's not what you wanted to talk about.
Well, I wanted to talk about in the 1970s. Unemployment was really high, and my father was a daily mess attendant, and he was a plumber and father of seven, having to support a large family. He'd get jobs, but they were far away all the time, so he had to support two households. He and my mother got together in between jobs when he was laid off and decided they were going to do the novena to St. Teresa of the Little Flower, the 5-day novena, the speedy one that she liked. and the one that you say before 11 o'clock each day. And so they did do it. And after the 5 days, well, on day five, my mother got a letter with a stamp with a rose on it. My brother came home. He had picked a rose for my mother, gave it to her. So they both knew the prayer was going to be answered, and it was.
Wow.
My father got a steady job with the Housing Authority in Boston. He stayed with it until he retired. And after that, there was no wrong that St. Teresa could ever do in Africa. I mean, we always told people, oh, you got to call her, you know, do this,
yeah.
Novena, you know, 5 days, and you'll be assured that it'll be answered. And, you know, it has to be done, though, with at least two people. When you do it on your own, it's not good enough.
Huh.
And so with the two people, it always came true.
That's interesting. Well, I haven't even heard about this 5-day novena to St. Teresa. I've never heard about that before. That's really cool.
Dear St. Teresa, the little flower, please pick me a rose from the heavenly garden and send it to me with the message of love. Ask God to grant me the favor I so implore, and tell him I will love him each day more and more.
I love it.
Before 11 o'clock with five our fathers, five Hail Marys, and five Glory Bees, and 5th day, you're sure to get.
Huh. Well, you got it memorized. I love it. And it's not a novena. It's a fivena, I guess you could say, because it's a 5-day prayer. But and this is exactly why, though. This is exactly why her fame spreads so quickly all over the world, because a lot of answered prayer, a lot of intercession that was answered through St. Teresa, the Little Flower. And Pope Pius X called her the greatest saint of modern times. He was convinced of that. And so that's an amazing story. I love that story. Thank you very much for calling in, Christina. God bless you.
And God bless you. I love listening to you. You're always informative, and you've really inspired me with being a better person.
Oh, wow. Thank
you very much.
That's very humbling, and thank you very much, Christina. Wow, that's well. If you could see me now, it's a good thing I'm on radio, because I'm probably beet red right now. That's wow. Thank you very much, Christina. God bless you, Christina in Boston. It's always good to hear from Beantown. We're going to go to little ways down the coast. We're going to go to Roseland, New Jersey. Bob is calling from Roseland. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, sir. Yourself?
I'm good. So I just wanted to tell you a St. Therese story.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Me and my wife, we met each other late in life. She was 32, I was 31.
Okay.
And we were both having hard times finding a good soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one who prayed to St. Therese to find a husband, a good husband. Hopefully I fit that bill. And it turns out we met at a mutual friend's wedding. They got married at St. Therese's church in Cresco, and that's where we met. So, and I, even though I wasn't the one praying to St. Therese, I also credit her with getting us together. And we've been, actually, next year we'll be married 30 years.
Oh, wow. And, God bless you.
And then we named our daughter, Teresa, after St. Therese.
That's amazing. And you met at St. Teresa's Parish. That's great. And you said that when you got married, your wife was 32 and you were 31?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, great. So you married an older woman, Bob. And
well, that runs in my family, yeah. My father and my brother, we all married older women for some reason.
Okay. Take advantage of the wisdom, I guess. Patrick Alog, who's screening calls, he just sent me a message saying, hey, that is not late in life, okay, 32, 31. No. Hey, I got married when I was 31. I got married when I was 31. So
there you go.
So there you go. So,
if I might just add one thing,
sure.
My wife and her church group is starting First Saturday devotions in our church starting tomorrow.
Okay.
If anyone's around Roseland, New Jersey, come to 8:45 Mass. We're actually having the Fatima statue from the Blue Army Shrine in Washington. They're going to bring it to our church and hopefully start these First Saturday devotions.
Hey.
So if anyone's around, 8:45 Mass, Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament in Roseland, New Jersey, tomorrow.
The place will be packed, Bob. It'll be packed. I know it will be. But thanks for calling, Bob. I really appreciate you, and have an amazing, amazing weekend. And got the plug in there. He did. We're going to go now to the left coast. We're going to go to Oceanside, California. Lena is on the line. Hi, Lena.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, I'll try to do it as quick as I can so you can get more callers. Okay, I used to be a Catholic volunteer at the Fresno County Jail.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I used to go through and distribute, prayer cards and rosaries. Anyway, so the young lady that was in there, she stopped me and goes, "You're Catholic, huh?" And I go, "Yes, I am." And she goes, "I just wanted to tell you something because I don't believe in miracles, but I got to tell you my story." So this is a young lady that they call it the revolving door. You know, she was in jail, out of jail, in jail. Anyway, so her family had written her off. Nobody wanted to talk to her sister, who she was closest to, hadn't spoken to her in 8 years. So anyway, but she said she was bound and determined to stay clean. So her bunkie, you know, when they share a bunk, they call each other bunkie. Her bunkie was starting a novena to St. Therese. And she told her, "Oh, you got to do this novena with me. And you'll find a place to live." And she was, "I don't believe in that stuff." No, really, you got to do it with me. You got to do it. I know it. You do it with me and you're going to find a place." And she was, "Yeah, okay, whatever." You know, so she would do the novena prayers with the bunkie. And she told me that on the ninth day, she got a letter from the sister who hadn't spoken to her in 8 years, telling her that, "I heard that you're wanting to stay clean. If you mean it, then you got a place to go when you get out of jail." And so then, of course, you know, she said she got chills because, you know, the bunkie was right. And then the bunkie had promised her, he goes, "And you know you're going to get your request because you're going to get a rose." And she goes, "Come on, girl, I'm in jail. How am I going to get a rose?" She goes, "I don't know, but you're going to get a rose, okay? That's just the way it is." And so sure enough, when her sister wrote her their letter, at the bottom of the letter, she had drawn a red rose for her.
Oh, wow. Blue.
So anyway, it was like, you know, and she, you know, was very emotional about it when she was telling me. She goes, "I don't believe in this stuff." She was, "But it did happen." So she wanted to tell me because, you know, she knew, you know, St. Therese had come through for her.
Wow,
so that's my story.
That's
story.
A really cool story. And God bless you for you know, being willing to serve in prisons and minister to people there. That was Lena calling from Oceanside, California. And Lena, are you still there? Are you still on the line?
Oh, yes.
It kind of makes me think of something I was reading recently. The author, people who are struggling with addiction and things like that, the author James Clear was talking about something that happened during the Vietnam War, where a lot of U.S. soldiers got hooked on heroin while they were overseas, and some officials from the homeland were sort of out there visiting the troops, and they were shocked at what they saw. They were like, "Oh my goodness, these guys are all addicts. When they come home, there's going to be a huge problem." But they found something very interesting, that 9 out of 10 soldiers who were using while they were overseas, when they came home, they stopped. They just stopped. And they realized why that was, because when they were over there, the reason why they were getting into this was the stress of war. It was available. It was easy to get. A lot of the other soldiers were hooked on it. They would share them with their friends. And so they were kind of in this environment that kind of led to it. But when they got home, they were out of that environment. They weren't hanging out with those people. They're in a totally different place with totally different surroundings. And for a lot of people, they were just able to walk away from it, which kind of shocked the researchers. And so it just kind of goes to show that when people are trying to get clean and they're trying to get over these addictions, whatever they may be, sometimes they go to these rehab centers and stuff and everything's fine for the, you know, the 40 days or whatever they're there. But then when they come home, they go right back to their old friends, the old places they used to hang out. And of course they get drawn back into the lifestyle. So that's why it's really important for people to get support, you know, for example, in a Catholic community, if they're trying to do this, when they get out of prison or when they're trying to get out of, you know, get clean from some of these substances, right?
Right. That was one of the things that, because that's all we would do is do services. But the leader of our group had said, you know, they were trying to see a way to make like a transition house. When the same thing that there are girls that the families write them off and they have nowhere to go except the streets. So then they go right back into it. So it makes a lot of sense to have somewhere for them to go to transition. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, you need to... you need to change your tribe almost, you know, who you're hanging around and everything. And that's where, you know, that's one way that people in the church can give support. So thanks very much, Lena, for calling. Really appreciate that. God bless you and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing. So got lots of great callers online. So if you're on the line, please stay. We'll get to you right after this break. Got to take a short stop here on the Cale Clark Show. Be right back. 888-914-9149.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Happy Friday once again. Happy feast day of St. Therese of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face. We can't forget that part either. She had devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. And of course, she is the Doctor of the Little Way, one of the most famous saints of all time. We're going to go to the phones right now. Greg is calling from Las Vegas. Hey, Greg.
Good afternoon. I have a little story about my mom. My mother always had a devotion to St. Therese of the Child Jesus, and she was the first person in our family to actually get a job on the Strip back in the 70s. And she worked at Circus Hotel in the gift shop in just off the arcade where all the circus acts occur. Well, she brought the St. Therese Novena with her, and by the end of her, I think she worked for 2.5 years or two to three years. By the end, every one of her co-workers in that gift shop were doing the St. Therese Novena, including a Jewish woman.
Wow.
And every day, someone would walk into that gift shop, either wearing a rose pin or a rose ring or someone bringing in flowers. They always saw a rose every day that they worked. My mom was there.
Huh.
So I just wanted to bring that to you, and from sunny Las Vegas.
From sunny Las Vegas, home of the Raiders, new home of the Raiders.
Yes.
Yeah. So Patrick Alog, who took your call, he's a huge Raider fan. If you call back, he'll talk to you for hours about the Raiders. So and their prospects. So anyways,
might
but
be
hard
pressed getting inside.
Yeah, that's very true.
Might be hard pressed, but
that's I heard it's pretty expensive. A friend of mine is working a conference there next week, and I said, "Are you going to go to a Raider game?" He's like, "No way, man." He's like, "They're way too expensive." So. At any rate, I appreciate the call, Greg. Have an awesome weekend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Enjoy your show.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. God bless you. And funny thing is, I'll have to tell this story on the show one day. I actually used to work at a casino as well. Can you imagine that? From working at casinos to Catholic radio? Oh, that's a story for another day. But if anybody out there remembers, ask me about it sometime. It was interesting. We're going to go now to... Oh, a longtime listener of the program. We haven't talked to him in a while. Paul from Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Cale. I was wondering about novenas and signs that go with novenas, like roses. Or there's a St. Jude novena you see a lot advertised. It has to be published, and your prayer will be answered in so many days. How does a person know what's a legitimate novena and what's bordering on superstition?
That's interesting, Paul, that you'd ask that question, because one of the somebody who works at Relevant Radio was talking to me about this just a while ago, and they're saying, you know, sometimes, you know, people, they're walking by a garden and they see a flower and they think, oh, St. Therese is talking to me. Well, how do you know when a prayer is really answered? What's a legit answer? It's a tough question to answer, but in terms of what is a legitimate novena, a lot of people, I don't know if I can answer what's a legitimate novena, but a novena in general, a lot of people wonder what is that? Where does it come from, this concept of a novena? And I know that, Paul, you come from an Orthodox Christian background. I'm guessing novenas are not a thing in the Orthodox world, right?
Well, yes. I mean, before, I take it comes from the... prayers before Pentecost, or when the apostles would pray in the upper room.
That's exactly right. That's one of them. It's a novena is a 9-day period of prayer, private prayer, or sometimes it can be public too. It can be with a group. And the reason why people do this is to get a special grace or to ask a special favor. And it comes from, by the way, the word novena comes from the Latin word novum, which means nine. You probably guessed that. And one of the places where people find this is in the Bible, specifically in the Acts of the Apostles. There's really nothing in the Old Testament about a 9-day prayer or a 9-day spiritual celebration among the Jewish people. Of course, they had the feasts of the Old Testament, but at the Ascension, Jesus, of course, gives the apostles the Great Commission, tells them to come back to Jerusalem, await the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in the Acts of the Apostles, it says, after that, they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount called Olivet near Jerusalem, which is a mere Sabbath's journey away. Together, they devoted themselves to constant prayer. And that's in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 and 14. So it was 9 days after this that the Holy Spirit descended upon them at Pentecost. So that's probably the basis for the novena. Oddly enough, though, in the secular world, the ancient Romans also had a 9-day prayer period for different things. Livy, who's a famous author of antiquity, talked about 9 days of prayer celebrated at a place called Mount Alban to avert some sort of evil. That's kind of an interesting factoid. But in all honesty, from a Christian point of view, from a Catholic point of view, it obviously comes from the Acts of the Apostles and Pentecost, like you said, Paul. So that's the biblical roots of it. To say that's about all we can say.
Well,
there.
That's helpful.
So, hey, thanks for calling, Paul. It's good to hear your voice again.
Okay.
And it's good to hear that you're still listening, you're still out there, and God bless you and have a great weekend. And going to go now to Phoenix, Dee Dee from Phoenix. Hey, Dee Dee.
Oh, hi. My question is, it's a theological question.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Application of theology from the perspective, of course, of St. Thaddeus of the soul. I'm a catechist, and I often face difficult decisions when planning my teaching lesson. Mm. So this is my question. What are the most important things that must be taught to children from the perspective or belief about God? From Santa
Teresa. You know what? I've got something for you on that, Dee Dee. In terms of something you can teach children about the spirituality of Santa Teresa. Now, obviously, this idea of spiritual childhood is obviously huge. And that kind of all goes back to Jesus himself when he said, "Let the children come to me. The kingdom of heaven is for such as these," in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. In the previous chapter in Matthew 18:3, he says, "Unless you become like little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." And of course, what are children really, really good at? It's trust. You know, my daughter will, for example, she'll jump off the stairs and, you know, expect me to catch her, and I will. But it takes a lot of trust, and that's really what faith is all about. But it always makes me think of Pope St. Pius X, and he was obviously famous for lowering the age of First Communion. And it was really only like, you know, older teenagers and adults who could receive communion at that time. But it was really St. Thérèse of Lisieux who really helped him with that, really kind of gave him more ammunition for that. Because what here's an anecdote that happened in his life. There was a Monsignor, and his name was Monsignor de Tailleul. And he was the guy who was vice postulator of the cause of canonization of St. Thérèse. And he showed Pope Pius X a letter that she wrote, that St. Thérèse wrote to her cousin. And her cousin's name was Marie Guérin. And Marie, her cousin, she didn't want to go to Holy Communion, and because she was really scrupulous. She's like, "I don't deserve it. I don't, you know, I'm not holy enough to receive communion." St. Thérèse said that that's a terrible attitude. She actually warned her in this letter that this is really the devil in disguise. You know, this idea that, hey, you know, I'm not holy enough to receive communion. Now, obviously, if you're in a state of unconfessed mortal sin, that's a different story. You got to go to confession. But he said, she said that Satan wants to deprive Jesus of a loving tabernacle. That's an interesting line. So it's like when we receive communion, we receive Jesus, we become a living tabernacle, because the devil knows that Jesus will win the victory over this poor heart, which is empty without its Lord. So this idea of, yes, we need to be united with Christ. And so when Pope Pius X saw this letter from St. Thérèse, he was so happy. He started saying, "Opportunissimo, opportunissimo. Wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is a great joy. we've got to speed up her canonization process. She's obviously saying this. She's right on the money. And so one of the things he said about her, St. Pius X, is that she's the greatest saint of modern times. And so she really helped him to with this whole concept of, yes, we need to lower the age of communion, spiritual childhood, the age of reason, as long as they can kind of have an understanding. Because nobody understands the Eucharist completely. We know we can know that it's true, and we can get the graces from God. So that's awesome. That's a really good question, Dee Dee. Well, listen, we're almost at the end of the program. So without further ado, I am as curious about this as you are. Producer Lucas has prepared not the week that was this week, but rather the week that wasn't on the Cale Clark Show. Check it out. We pray for each one of you, and it's a great, blah, 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 blah. I can't even talk today. The German nobleman Wolfgang Langenmantel, Apollinarius. Hey, I try to, when I don't know something, I try to admit that, because I've found in my life that when I pretend that I know what I'm talking about, it usually doesn't turn out too well. And Lucas, you're going to ask me something, what?
Yeah, well, I was just curious if you had any anecdotes or stories about Our Lady and Endure of Knots in your own life.
I do not. No pun intended. Oh my. But no, I personally
don't. I
need
to get better at multitasking so I can also have hit the sad trumpet sound at that bad dad joke.
Yes. Kind of sounds like a cross between a video game and an aerobics session from the 1980s. That's quite the song. I just want to keep that rolling because Bing is so classic. He's so smooth, but it is a talk show. It's not Christmas radio. But today is, of course, the feast day of St. Wenceslas. Yeah, I just love that hymn, Lucas.
Hey, Cale, question.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be successful if I pitched to the people above me Cale's Christmas Carols for the next pledge drive that we do?
Cale's Karaoke Christmas. We actually do want people to donate to Relevant Radio.
They
so
might
that,
donate
that might not be a good
for
idea.
You to stop singing.
Yeah, exactly. No. Make it stop. I'll pay anything. I'm going to go to Anita, who's calling from Galt, California. Hi, Anita.
Hi there.
Still there?
My phone is trying to die.
Oh, yeah. In the cold November rain. A little Guns N' Roses there. That was a horrible Axl Rose impersonation. But my cup of Joe right here, right next to me. I should just have an IV drip hooked up all the time and wheel it around with me, let's face it. Too much blood in the coffee system. The week that wasn't. I like it. I enjoyed it. Did you? What did you think of it?
I had a lot of fun putting it together. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I tell you, we could do easily, and you know, 10 minutes of bloopers from the week, that's for sure.
Well, this is the beauty of live radio, right? I mean, everything just happens on the spot, and you know, there's no hiding it. So
you gotta roll with it. So what are your weekend plans?
Our weekend plans, actually, I'm gonna try and drive up north a little bit and try and go to Holy Hill in just outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Holy Hill, I've never heard of this place. What is that all
it's
about?
A Carmelite monastery, and it's on top of a hill. And especially in the fall time, it's really beautiful.
If it wasn't on a hill, that wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense to call it Holy Hill. But
what about you?
I'm going to. We have a bit of a family gathering tomorrow, so I'm excited about that. And then on Sunday, like I was talking about with our caller from Boston, I'm going to be glued to the TV Sunday night because Tom Brady is returning to New England.
The goat.
Yeah. So that's. That's going to be something else to play the Patriots. That's going to be an extravaganza Sunday Night Football. It's going to transcend sports. It's a real cultural event. So we'll talk about that on Monday. But you all have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the feast day. It's October. It's a great month. Leaves are changing colors. The beauty of creation. And it's been beautiful to spend the week with you on the Cale Clark Show. Lucas produced. Patrick took your calls. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.